Let's stick with our markets conversation now and bring in Kevin Mann. He is CIO at Hennion & Walsh. Kevin, good to see you. It's been a while. I hope you're doing well. Everybody's asking this question. Is there a correction coming for the S&P 500, which would mean at least a drop of 10%? And how bad is it going to be? What's your take?
You know, Alexis, with market valuations remaining stretched, although much better than they were just 3 months ago, considering that the market has closed at an all-time high 56 different times thus far in 2021, there are many uncertainties that still exist for investors to grapple with, whether it's the Delta variant of COVID-19, the fate of both the infrastructure spending and the budget resolution bills, inflationary pressures, higher taxes, and of course, when or won't the Fed begin their tapering plan. We think it's wise for investors to revisit the diversification they have in their portfolio strategies and perhaps, Alexis, be slightly more selective to where they look for growth opportunities for the balance of 2021.
Okay, so where are you seeing some of those growth opportunities? And Kevin, I'm wondering if some of them lie outside the U.S. equity market.
Actually, we think some of those opportunities actually are aligned with the reopening trade, if you will. Many have suggested that those companies that have benefited from the gradual reopening of the U.S. economy from COVID-19, associated growth opportunities have likely subsided. To the contrary, we think that there are three specific industries generally associated with the reopening trade that will provide leadership to the new American economy emerging from the COVID-19 pandemic. Those areas are healthcare, notably biotech, e-commerce, and of course, technology, but not just the traditional providers of technology, but some of the smaller cap providers of revolutionary technologies. Internationally, we do think that the super cycle of outperformance of U.S. over international will slowly start to shift overseas, but the majority of the benefits likely lie in developed markets in the U.S. and to a lesser degree in international, at least for the balance of this year, Alexis.
Now, of course, inflation is a big part of the picture for the market and the Fed moving forward. Tomorrow, we're going to get that consumer price index number. How vital is that report to this market right now? And do you think it may move the needle at all for the Fed if it shows that inflation remains elevated?
Yeah, and inflation will remain elevated, Alexis. Right now, consensus estimates are calling for a 0.4% increase month over month and a 5.3% year-over-year increase, certainly elevated, but much lower than the 8.3% year-over-year increase that we saw during the month of July, likely due to some of those transitory factors such as travel and lodging subsiding. So in all likelihood, inflationary pressures will remain as the Fed tries to reflate the economy from the depths that it reached during the early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic. And we believe that traditionally the best hedge to inflation is stocks, notably some blend of global stocks, both U.S. and international stocks that are worthy of consideration, especially in those three areas that I outlined earlier.
So I didn't hear you say commodities like gold, and I'm not hearing you say cryptocurrencies as a hedge against inflation, which is a way a lot of investors have been using that asset class. What are your feelings on that?
Well, as it relates to cryptocurrencies, the underlying technology that supports cryptos, that being blockchain, is one of the revolutionary technologies that I'm referring to in the three areas of potential leadership to this new American economy emerging from COVID-19. As it relates to commodities, we think in certain timeframes, historically, commodities have provided a good hedge against inflationary pressures. But in other timeframes, not necessarily the case. And I still believe as both the Federal Reserve remains accommodative, as the government continues to try and reflate the economy by providing additional stimulus, and as the U.S. consumer remains confident in spending, that there are more growth opportunities in U.S. stocks.
What about energy? I mean, we're seeing gas prices soar, not only here in the U.S., but really around the world as demand starts to pick up. Energy, in terms of being a sector, has been leading the advance for much of the past couple of weeks on Wall Street. How invested in energy are you, and where are you looking for opportunity?
Yeah, great question, Alexis. And in fact, energy is the top performing sector thus far in 2021, followed closely, however, by financials. Energy, financials, industrials, materials, those are generally the sectors that we anticipate benefiting from the upcoming infrastructure spending bill, if and when that bill is passed. They're also associated with the value trade, this road to value rotation that most investors have tried to align themselves with in 2021. So I do believe that energy does have potential, especially if this infrastructure spending bill is passed. But that doesn't mean that we neglect those other benefactors of infrastructure spending, such as materials, industrials, telecom services from a 5G expansion standpoint, and of course, the financials that generally benefit during periods of economic expansion.
Kevin, real quick before I let you go, if the Democrats get their way and are able to hike the capital gains tax and the corporate tax rate and to hike taxes on the highest earners in this country, does that change the way you look at your portfolio?
Well, it does from the standpoint of will that cripple the economic recovery that we've experienced thus far since the economy has gradually reopened from the COVID-19 pandemic. I do think those higher taxes do create additional investment opportunities, though. Consider that if personal income taxes do go higher, that will create even more of a demand for tax-free income, notably among high net worth investors, and that stands to benefit municipal bonds. As it stands right now, there's a supply-demand imbalance for municipal bonds. If, in fact, taxes go higher and demand for tax-free income goes higher, that should benefit the prices of municipal bonds and strategies of municipal bonds like closed-end funds.
All right, Kevin Mond, CIO at Hennion & Walsh, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.